invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles as we look at God's Word to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and you can we're going to be starting in verse 15. Ephesians 1, 15. As we are in the midst of Ephesians chapter 1, and Paul has just recounted so many of the spiritual blessings that the Ephesians believers and we have in Christ. And now he sort of moves on to talk about what he prays concerning them. And so this is really a recounting of what Paul prays for specifically the Ephesian believers. But have you ever taken inventory of something? When you take inventory of something, it's like you're discovering what exactly you have in stock. And I remember working for a company once that would regularly do an inventory count, and usually the employees hated inventory days. And so they would have to wait until closing time, and then they would have to set aside hours to count every single thing in the store. By doing this, it gave them an accurate picture of what they had, what the products they had, what even the supplies sometimes. And it was basically a way to look at what they had so that nothing got lost, nothing got overlooked or neglected. Not long ago, even some ladies in our church, they went through our church kitchen and they got to see all of what we had in there. And they even said things like, "I didn't even realize that we had this." Has that ever happened to you at your house, maybe? Maybe you look through your garage or your attic or maybe something else, some other place, and you're looking to see, what all do I have in here? And maybe you even say, "I didn't even realize I still had this." Or maybe it's like, "Wow, look at this." Or even, "I didn't realize that I had this much stuff." Well, in the passage this morning, it's like Paul wants us to see the extent and depth of our spiritual inventory. He wants us to see with accuracy exactly what we have in Christ, but the thing is not to just have a sort of ballpark idea of some of these things, but to have a deep knowledge of them all. And through this spiritual cataloging, so to say, it should lead us to a point where we say, "Wow, that is amazing. I didn't even realize the scope and depth of that in Christ." Or even, "I didn't even realize I had this much because of the Lord." And so like the stuff in our pantries and our garages and our attics, we tend to overlook the depth and extent of what we truly have. But and this morning we are led to see with accuracy and depth what God has given to us, our spiritual inventory of what we truly have in the Lord. But here's the thing, as we do this, we're going to need some help. You see, taking spiritual inventory of what we have in Christ isn't something that we can simply understand in its depth on our own, but rather we're going to need God's help to do this. And that's why Paul really encapsulates all of this in prayer. In prayer. Let's read the passage this morning. Ephesians 1, 15 to 19. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe." And we'll stop there for this morning. But the thing that we see first, and it's really this whole thing is recounting a prayer, but the something that we see is that the need for constant prayer, the need for constant prayer. There's a story of Charles Spurgeon, and there was five young college students that came to him, and he said, "Gentlemen, I want to show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant of this church?" And now they weren't particularly interested because it was a hot day in July, but they didn't want to offend him, so they consented and went. And so he took the young men down the stairway, and he quietly opened the door, and Spurgeon whispered, "This is our heating plant." Surprised, the student saw 700 people bowed in prayer, seeking a blessing on the service that was soon to happen on the auditorium above. Do we really and truly believe in the necessity of prayer? Like, do we believe it works? Do we believe God uses it? Because Paul certainly did. Note what he says there in verses 15 and 16. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. As Paul considers all that God has done through Christ, as Paul considers the Ephesians' faith and love, he can't help but pray. He knew prayer matters. He knew prayer changes things. Because God has ordained prayer to be a means of His working in the world. And we need to understand that. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that our prayers have this inherent magical power. They do not. I'm simply saying God desires for us to pray, and He is determined to answer prayers according to His will. Meaning, we do the praying, He does the working. He does the work. You think about Paul, he did a lot of great things. I mean, he's the Apostle Paul. And yet, he knew prayer's indispensable to all of it. To all of it. And so, Paul didn't see prayer as sort of like the last resort. It was the first place he went. And so, no wonder he prays for the Ephesians. He knew prayer's powerful. The Ephesians need prayer. And so they didn't only need instructions, though of course he gives instructions. Those were important. But he knew they needed prayer. A big part of God working is prayer is an essential component of that. And so as we live our Christian lives, do we see the necessity of prayer? Or do you try to like do things on your own and maybe as a last resort, okay, now it's time to pray. Because I find that we often do it that way, is we try to do the power and use the power of work, and we try to do it, and then that's the last resort, there's prayer. That's not the way it ought to be. Paul was fervent and faithful in his prayers. He says, I do not cease to do this. I mean, he's constantly bringing up the Ephesians in prayer. He's constantly thinking of other people. What do other people need? Of course, he prayed for himself at times, but he's lots of times praying for other people. And so my question for you is, are you self-focused in your prayers? Of course, we need prayer. We pray for ourselves, but is it only about yourself? Or is it balanced by prayer for other people too? He cared about others. It showed in his prayer life. And that may be one way to evaluate our love for others is, do we pray for others? Because that shows a love and a care for other people, that I'm going to pray for them. He's thankful for the Ephesians. He gives thanks to God, but he also intercedes for the Ephesians, giving requests, and he prays for them to know God more. And so what's interesting is that Paul, he says, he heard of their faith and love, and of course, he's happy for them. But he heard of their faith and love, and he heard that they're growing, but that didn't mean, okay, now it's time to stop praying for them because they're good to go. Actually, when he heard of their faith and love, he's like, I'm going to pray for them. And so it means he's praying for them to grow, and grow more. And one of the most loving things for us to do for another person is to desire for them to grow in their spiritual walk with the Lord. For their understanding of the Lord to deepen. Because way too often our prayers are only focused on physical ailments. And that should be a big part of our prayers, is physical needs. And yes, those are so important. But Paul's prayers are primarily about people's hearts, about their spiritual walk with the Lord. And so we mainly evaluate people when it comes to physical and material needs. And we think, okay, what ailment do they have? What what possession can they receive to make their life more comfortable? And yet Paul is mainly concerned with people's hearts, and he's thinking, I'm giving thanks to God for them and also praying for them to be more like Christ, to know God more. That's what he was primarily praying for. And my question is, do we truly care for people's souls, for their hearts? Like, do we care about what is most important, what is eternal? Do we intercede on their behalf? It would be wonderful if we reflected this prayer life of Paul more and what we prayed for, and if we saw prayer as more essential, as we were faithful in it, as we were fervent in it, as we were thankful to God for people, as we're focused on their hearts, focused on their most important needs. Let's pray this way and watch God work. But speaking of God, that's of course who Paul prayed to. It's who we pray to. Because you think about it, as Christians, we do not pray just to some generic higher power. We do not just pray to the sky. We pray to God. Verse 17 tells us he prays to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. And so just think about it. He prays to God, and so it makes you think, think of who all God is. And the list could go on and on, but he's of course eternal and powerful, ever-present, all-knowing, good, perfect, gracious, so much more. We pray to God. We pray to God. Just think about that. Get your mind around. We pray to God. But that's not all. He's the Father of glory. And he's a Father, and so he's approachable. He wants us to come to him. He cares. He loves. He's tender. You can go to him. You can go to your Father. But that's not all. He's also called the Father of glory. Meaning he's approachable, but he's also glorious. He's all-powerful. He's full of magnificent splendor. His greatness, his majesty knows no bounds, knows no rivals. Anything in life that is glorious, it's just a reflecting speck of his glory. That's who we pray to, the Father of glory. We pray to the highest power of the universe, who is simultaneously the most loving and gracious one of the universe. And so, beloved, go to the Father of glory with your requests. Big and small, go to him. Go to him in neediness, in necessity. Go to him in fervent and faithful prayer. Go to him in grateful hearts for others. Go to him with boldness and intercession for other people. And so he prays that they would see with accuracy and depth their spiritual inventory of what they had in the Lord. But like I said, we need help to do this, and that's why he prays for this. And so we see we need prayer, but we also see to understand truly the glory of our spiritual inventory of what we have in Christ, we need something else. And prayer is a big part of that. He's praying for this, but we see, secondly, the need. You can go to the next slide there. Whoop. All right, we're good to go. The need for open eyes of the heart. The need for open eyes of the heart. Just the other day, I was looking out the window at something, and my 2-year-old daughter couldn't see because she's too short. And so what did I do? She asked me to pick her up in order to see, and so that's what I did. I picked her up, and so that way she could see. And so it was without my work of lifting her up, my daughter would have never been able to see out the window. And likewise, we must understand that we are like that in our lives. Without God, we will never see the glories of what he has given to us. Without God, we will never see the glories of what he has given to us. You see, knowing the greatness and glory of what God has given to us is not something that we can just know on our own. We cannot grasp the depths of all that God has given to us by just thinking hard enough. You're not going to get there. Instead, we need God's help to know the deep, it all in the deepest ways possible. I mean, this is clear, of course, in this passage, but also I think of 1 Corinthians 2. It says, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." The Spirit is given to us so that we can truly understand the things God has given to us freely. And so consider what he prays for. Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened." And so Paul is showing us that to truly know what God has given to us, God must do the work at helping us to see it. We need God, the Father of glory, to give us wisdom, to give us understanding. We need him to give us deeper insight into our hope, into our inheritance, into his power. Consider how Paul started this whole thing in verse 15. He said, "For this reason," he prays for them. And when you think about "for this reason," it's really pointing back to all what he said in verses 3 to 14 of all these spiritual blessings. And so what he's really saying is, due to all that God has done for you, due to all that God has given to you, he prays that you may know the depth and the glory of all that. That is why he prays. We need God to help us to truly grasp the greatness of what we have. And isn't that really the testimony of your life over the years as a Christian? Like, you haven't grown because you received some new spiritual thing. You grew over time because you simply have come to know those things that you have in a deeper way. God never loved you less 10 years ago. God never loved you less 15, 20 years ago, but you have simply come to grasp his love for you more now. And now your heart is in a better place than it was back then. So the point that Paul is making is, in order for you to grasp what you have in Christ, it cannot come from you. It cannot come from your own mind just doing, you know, the work in itself. True, deep understanding of the things of God must come from God. And so often we think, oh, all I have to do is this. I just have to put in the effort, and then I'm going to grow in my walk with the Lord. That's it. Just put in the effort. Of course, there is effort involved. There is a sense of self-discipline involved. But it is foolish to think that's all you need is effort. It's foolish to think that way. Mere self-effort in godliness without the aid of the Spirit is no good. Without the aid of the Spirit, mere self-effort is like trying to fly a kite with no wind, right? It's not going to work. We need God's Spirit to give us wisdom and knowledge and revelation in the knowledge of God. We need the Spirit to open the eyes of our hearts to see the glories of what we have. You cannot do the Christian life alone. You need God. You need the Spirit to work in your heart to ingrain this truth deep into it, to impress it deep into your heart. And so Paul knew unless God gave them wisdom and knowledge and God opened their eyes to see, they would not truly grasp the greatness of all these things. And that's why he prays for these things. He prays for it. He prays for open eyes of the heart. Do you realize this? Or are you trying to do the Christian life sort of just in your own effort? Like, if I just do the effort, I'll get the results. Is that your mindset? Or is it trusting, praying that God needs to work in your heart, that God needs to open the eyes of your heart to see, that God needs to give you wisdom to grow and to know these things? And so we need prayer. We need God to open the eyes of our hearts to see this. But what exactly does he want us to know? That's next. Number three, the need to know what you have. the need to know what you have. I think about when you start a project, and an important sort of near the beginning of the process, important part, is to first recognize what you have. And so before you do a project, you have to first go and see, do I have the tools needed? Do I have the supplies needed? Because if you don't, you need to go buy them, right? You need to get them or borrow them. You need these things. And so a part of the process is knowing what you have. And so also, Paul wants us to truly see what we have. And thankfully, we never have to go and buy it. We have it in Christ. But notice what Paul wants them to know. These are the things he is praying that God would open their eyes to see and to know. And what are they? That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? What do people often view as the solution to their problems? What do people view as the way to grow in life? Like, what would people say is the key? And many times they think, I just need something new. I need something new, and it will just make my life completely better. And so the idea is sometimes they think, all I need is a new situation and my life would just completely be different, be so much better. Or if I just had this new thing, if I just had that new car, if I just had that new house, a new product, it would change everything. And there even are some strands of those who follow Christ and they think, if only I have this second blessing of the Spirit, man, I'm going to reach this higher level of spirituality. But that is not the way that Paul talks or thinks at all. Because if you notice here, Paul is not praying for something new for the Ephesians. It is not something like it's not something like outside of them that is just new, brand new. He's praying that they would, that God would open their eyes to see what they have. That's the key. And now when Paul prays for them to know some things, we realize he's not just praying for some head knowledge, right? Like, you guys just need to get out your theology books and just learn up, and that's all you need. No, it's not actually just head knowledge. That's important, right? That's an aspect that's important. Because we all know it's one thing to sort of know the basic facts of something, but it's another thing to truly know it, to know the depths of it, to know it in experience, to know it in, like, inside and out, to know it in your heart. And so he doesn't just want them to know what their hope is in this unemotional, detached way. He doesn't want them to know what their hope is in just this formal head knowledge way, but to truly know it in their heart. He just prayed that the eyes of their heart would be open to these things. So he's saying, in your heart, I want you to know this. He doesn't just want us to know what our inheritance is, but to know the riches of them. He doesn't just want us to know the power of God from a distance where we say, yeah, oh, yeah, God's powerful. You know, I know those theological terms. He's just powerful. No, he wants us to truly and deeply and intimately know the greatness of God's power towards us who believe. And that is really a big difference. Because you may know all the right answers in a theological test. You may know all the right answers for a test. But have those truths been deeply ingrained into your heart? Because that's what Paul's praying for God to do in the Ephesians, and of course in our hearts. And when these truths are really seen in our hearts, that's when real and true and lasting growth can happen in us. Because we are way too content with merely head knowledge. But even Paul says in 1 Corinthians that knowledge can actually puff up. If it doesn't really, if there's no love, if there's no impact on your heart and that love for others, it can lead to pride, mere head knowledge. Because Paul doesn't pray merely for the eyes of their minds to grasp the truth, the eyes of their hearts, something deeper. And so we should regularly be praying to the Lord, Lord, I need you to help me to know you more, to know what you have given to me. Please give me wisdom. Give me insight today. Let my heart see it. Let me not just know it here. Let my heart know it. Let me live it. Let me live like it's true. I remember growing up and Bible trivia competitions were big. I mean, I'm sure they're big still here and there, but I remember they were big, you know, when I was growing up. And on the one hand, they can be helpful, right? We can come to know, you know, some things about the Bible as we do these Bible trivia competitions. But we cannot simply approach God's truth as if it was mere Bible trivia, because it is not mere Bible trivia. The truth is not simply trivia answers to be known and written down and moved on from. God's truth is something that Paul wants us to grasp, to utilize, to know deeply in our hearts. Where that Bible knowledge, and you may be the smartest person when it comes to Bible trivia, but has it changed your life? Has it done something in your heart at all? You may know God's love and you may say, God is love and I can answer it on the test. But does it do anything for me in my life? Am I more loving to someone? Am I just walking around, woe is me, everyone thinks I'm this and that, and you're saying, I thought you said God is love. I thought you said God loves you. You said it on the test. Do you know it in your heart? And so this has to impact our hearts. And many of us have been Christians for a very long time, and we have all the answers. We have all the head knowledge of what's true, but do we grasp them in our hearts? And so what's the key? And so the key is, I'm not saying, hey, go out there and try harder and harder, because that goes against all what Paul's doing. What am I going to say? Go to God in prayer. That's what Paul's praying for. Go to God in prayer. Ask Him to give you wisdom and knowledge and to open your heart to truly know these things. That's what Paul's calling us to do. Go to God in prayer. Ask Him. Go to Him and say, Lord, I have all this head knowledge, and that is so important to know who God is and to know how to live. But Lord, impress it deeply into my heart. Lord, impact my heart to know how to live for you rightly and to care for others and care, of course, about you. Trust Him to do the work. Don't trust in your ability. But what are the three things Paul prays for quickly? Their hope, their inheritance, and God's power. And so first we see he wants us to know our hope. And so we see, you know, as you think about hope, I mean, the way we use hope is foreign to the Bible, right? Because when we use hope, it's sort of a wishful thinking. I hope this happens, right? I hope it doesn't rain today, even though I think it is supposed to rain today, right? I think we all say that at times. But according to the Bible, our hope is really a confident expectation of good to come. Confident expectation of good to come. Our hope is really what God has promised to those who believe. It's throughout the Bible, different places, our hope is related to different things. It's related to our eternal life, our salvation, Christ and His return, our resurrected bodies. You know, all of these are our hope. It really is that glorious future and all of that, what that entails. And so it's that glorious future God has promised, and we look forward to in faith and trust and confident expectation. And so it is really this hope that God has called us to, and we know it's God's doing and not ours. And so He has called us to experience this blessed hope, this living hope, the Bible says. It's this hope that God wants us to know deeper. It's this hope that he wants our hearts to be impacted with. And so I want us to imagine, because as I said earlier, there's one thing about the head knowledge. And so we could say what I just said, our hope is this, you know, this eternal life, salvation, Jesus Christ, all of the glorious future to come that is promised to us. We could say that. But now, what does it look like? Okay, this is impressed upon my heart. What does it look like? What difference would it make? Because to confidently and deeply know what my hope is, that gives me assurance today. That impacts my life today. Worry and fret would flee at the thought of my sure hope. I have a sure hope to come. What would suffering look like? How would we view suffering if we truly believed in our hope to come? It would look light and momentary, wouldn't it? Compared to the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison that is to come. And even death would not look like defeat. What would it look like? The pathway to glory. The time to be with Christ. To see him face to face. And so may God impress this. May we remember our hope. May he help us to have eyes to see our hope. Along with that, he wants us to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And so this is really, we think about the inheritance, is similar to our hope because it's a lot of what's to come. But if I think about what Paul is saying here, it's really, what is he emphasizing? He's emphasizing the riches of it. Meaning the scope of what is to come. The greatness and glory of what is to come. Meaning we're not, you know, our hope is not something small and insignificant. Our inheritance is not something small and insignificant. But we're going to receive and experience this glorious inheritance someday. It's immeasurably rich. And so he really wants us and wants to impact our hearts with how amazing and glorious it will all be. Because if you truly grasp the riches of this glorious inheritance, it would change your life. To think that God has provided something amazing for me in the future, I'm going to keep trusting him. God has provided something amazing for me in the future, and so I'm willing to sacrificially love you because I have something far better than the comforts of this world. To know I have a glorious inheritance to come, and so I can face this today. I have this glorious inheritance. I have the sure hope I can face today. I have a loving God who has given it to me. Thirdly, we can come to know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little more about that power because Paul really expands upon that power, but as we think about this power, we think about, you know, what Paul's praying for. He's asking God to open the eyes of our hearts to get to know deeply what God's power is. But it's not just that, but the immeasurable greatness of his power and how he has used that power in the past and how that power is available to us now and, of course, how he will use it in the future. And so as we get to know God more, we come to know how truly powerful he is. It's that power that far surpasses any power that we could think of. And I think about how we so often underestimate the power of God. And it's shown in our lives and how we live. Because sometimes I find that we can think, I don't know if I can do this, what God has called me to do. What are you doing right there? Aren't you doubting God's power? If you're saying, God has called me to do this, I don't know how if I can do this, and God is saying, hello, my power is available, that my power can work through you. I think about Moses, right? And he's called to go to Pharaoh, and he's called to help deliver the people out, and he's just trembling. I don't know how I can do this. I gave all these reasons, and God keeps saying, you know, pointing to, hey, remember who I am. I am who I am. He's pointing to his power. know the greatness of His power. Didn't say to know the greatness of your power because we're weak. Know the greatness of His power. Because we so often get focused on our strength, our lack of strength, whatever it may be. And God is really pointing to Himself and saying, look at my strength. Look at my power. Because the truth is, we are weak. And Paul really shows that in Corinthians, where I am weak, but He is strong. And in my weakness, His strength is seen. His grace is seen. And because the truth is, we are weak. The world can't give us power. We realize the things in this life, they may give us short spurts of power, but they short out over time. And we're looking to so many of these dead sources of power when we have this endless supply of power available in the Lord. Know the greatness of God's power towards you. Looking to God. Looking to Him impact your heart with it. And so pray that God would open up your eyes to see, the eyes of your heart to see, that you wouldn't truly know these things deeply. It would impact your life to know that God is powerful, that I am weak, but He is strong. And so that means whatever He has called me to do, I can do as I rely upon Him, because He gives me the power. He has the immeasurable power. That even though life looks chaotic and out of control, I know He has the power, that He's going to make all things right, that He, Christ, will come again. And so we need to see, we need God to help us to see the glory of all that He's given to us, our spiritual inventory. And so this passage shows us this truth. Our need is not to receive something new, but for God to help us to see the glory of what we already have. Because some of us, we're looking for that new circumstance and we're thinking it's going to just change my life and that's going to be it. And not realizing, I'm going to still have some of the same struggles, aren't I? I'm going to have, you know, the same, you know, I might have lose some of these struggles, but I have some of these struggles over here. And so it's not a new circumstance. It's certainly not that new possessions that's just going to change your life, right? I think we could all, you know, give testimony of people who we know who are very well off and very rich, but has it made them eternally happy? No, of course not. And so it's not that new possession. Others are seeking some new special revelation, even though, of course, we have God's Word. Or they're looking for that new second blessing to make all the difference. But Paul is saying, no. You need simply God to help you to know Him deeper, to so that you know these amazing blessings, these amazing resources you already have in the Lord. As he said back in verse 3, how God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing is given to us in Christ. We have it in Christ. And so often we are sort of like that wealthy person who is searching all over for something we already have. We already have it. And so often we fear and we are filled with anxiety when we meet hardships and we feel like, oh, I don't have much, and we're kind of downcast about it all. And when we face sin, we think, okay, I feel like I'm just inadequate and I can't overcome this. And you're right, you can't unless God works. You need God's strength, but guess what? You have God's strength available. And so Paul is praying, Lord, help them to truly know their hope. Help them to know their inheritance. Help them to know your power. Because it's the Lord who enlightens the eyes of the heart to see the depth of His person and work. We need to see the amazing glory of what we have in Christ. And so pray to God, rely upon Him to help you see the wonder and glory of what you have in Christ. And so pray to God for help to see that all that you have in Him, and rely upon Him. And so often, or how often do we actually pray this way? How often do we pray this way for ourselves, but also how often do we pray this way for others? Like, how often do we pray for God to help us to know Him more or for others, to help us to understand what I have in Christ. Lord, open the eyes of my heart to, you know, impact my heart with these truths. Wherever it is in the Bible, impact my heart with these truths. How often do we do that? But we see here, Paul saw it as important. He saw it as important. Even though he does some great things, but it was really God working through him, right? The life I live now is a life of faith in Christ, is Christ in me, Paul says. Because all of this is possible, not because of our efforts, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again victorious. All of this comes to us because of Jesus. And it becomes to us who have been called to have a sure hope. Where it comes to us who have been privileged to be saints and who simply in grace believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning that you would help us to know these things. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom, give us insight, give us knowledge. Help us to know you more, but Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts this morning to truly and deeply know what is our hope, to know the riches of our inheritance that you will give to us, and to know your great power and how that power was displayed in Christ and is also available to us now as we live the Christian life. Help us to know these things as we go through each day. And I pray that we would not just merely be content with our head knowledge, but be looking for and praying for and relying upon you to grow us in our knowledge of you and our love for you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.